here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Today is Friday the 13th, but we're spooky. In April, so it's not as spooky as when... I think it was
We had a Halloween one, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not as like eerie as it is when it's in falls in October, but it's still Friday the 13th. I know when I was making doctor's appointments not too long ago, and one of the options was today, and I was like, nope. Sorry, next week, next month, but not today. But anyways, we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. There's been lots of news coming out of Washington, D.C. over the past few days, including the FBI raid of the New York office of Michael Cohen, President Trump's personal lawyer, and the announcement that House Speaker Paul Ryan would not be seeking re-election.
And as things continue to heat up in the nation's capital, investors are gearing up for a busy Q1 earnings season, with several major banks kicking off the report period this morning. On this week's show, we'll actually be taking a look at the reports of JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup to make sure you have the latest on the state of the finance sector as the broader market looks to continue its rebound.
Yeah, so heading into today's reporting, major bank stocks had slightly outpaced the S&P 500 over the past year, but interest rate uncertainty has created headwinds for the space recently. Yields on the benchmark 10-year Treasury bond have moved sideways over the past 2 months, marking a change to the uptrend in Treasury yields that had been in place since September.
And with that said, the Fed appears poised to continue tightening its monetary policy, with market uncertainty almost entirely related to whether the central bank will announce 4 rate hikes or possibly more this year. But for now, interest rate concerns will give way to the latest quarterly earnings results. So we'll kick things off here with Maddie giving us the latest on Citigroup.
Yeah, so Citigroup reported earnings per share of $1.68, and this surpassed the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.61. Furthermore, the figure compared favorably with earnings of $1.35 in the prior year quarter. Quarterly revenues were $18.87 billion, and this was just slightly below the Zacks consensus of $18.90 billion, but up 3% year over year. But breaking things down just a bit more, Citigroup reported total net income of $4.6 billion, and this figure was up 13% from the prior year quarter. Meanwhile, cost of credit moved about 12% higher. Citigroup saw some pressure in its fixed income business, however, this quarter, with revenues in this segment, declining about 7% to touch $3.4 billion. However, the bank giant witnessed huge improvements in its equity markets business, likely due to increased activity in this space amid a volatile first quarter for stocks. Citigroup also reported revenues of $1.1 billion in this segment, up about 38% year over year. Looking at higher trading revenues, these were enough to buoy Citigroup's results overall, and fellow behemoth JP Morgan echoed that trend, Ryan.
Yeah, so we're going to get to Wells Fargo later in the show, but in terms of the people that are going to have the impact from these trading revenues, JP Morgan also seeing the effects, as you mentioned. Overall, earnings per share came in at $2.37, beating the Zacks consensus estimate by 9 cents and improving 44% from the year ago period. Total revenues were $27.9 billion in the quarter, up 12% from the prior year quarter. Also, total revenues topping the Zacks consensus estimate of $27.8 billion, just by a smidge there. Net income was up 35% year over year to $8.7 billion. Credit card sales volume was up 12%, and merchant processing volume grew 15%. Commercial banking average core loan balances grew 6%, and asset management core loan balances rose 12%. Breaking it down into that trading revenues, as we mentioned, JP Morgan actually saw an uptick in fixed income trading. I believe you said a 8% decline from Citigroup in that 7% decline in that business. JP Morgan actually saw an improvement of 8% in its segment. And then similar to Citigroup, a huge improvement on the equity trading side. And for JP Morgan, equity trading income surged about 26% in the quarter. So good results from the two kind of dual role banking behemoths. And then more on the commercial side, we had Wells Fargo as well.
Yeah, so Wells Fargo provided investors with another measurement of the company's ongoing effort to regain public trust after that, or in the wake of its fraudulent account scandal. God, remember that?
Yeah, seems like forever ago.
It does.
But they're still dealing with it.
Yeah. So. With its own Q1 report on Friday morning, this morning, Wells Fargo reported earnings per share of $1.12, which beat the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.07 per share. Results were up from the prior year quarter earnings of $1.03, and the bank posted revenues of $21.9 billion. This number outpaced the Zacks consensus estimate of $21.7 billion. However, net sales were down about 1.8% year over year. So investors should note that these results are preliminary and might be impacted on resolution of matters with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB for short, and Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. I like that. Also OCC for short. And this relates to the bank's compliance risk management program with a change of with a charge of $1 billion in civil money penalties.
Yeah. So while the story for Citigroup and JP Morgan is really skyrocketing trading revenues on the equity side, still the story for Wells Fargo is that little asterisk above the results that is related to this fraudulent account scandal that goes back now, better part of a year. We've been talking about this, if not longer. So that does it for our three banking giants. I want to say, in terms of like the big four that I picture try to lump together, Bank of America comes in on Monday. Sometimes Bank of America joins the rest of the squad with the first Friday morning reporting, but they're coming in on Monday. And that'll do it for the huge financials. Next week, we'll see reports from more banks. And then we're also going to see the first of the big tech reports, the FANG tech reports with Netflix scheduled to report on Monday afternoon. They kind of jumped the gun a little bit. Get ahead of the rest of the tech stocks.
Compared to everyone
else. Yeah. I believe Johnson & Johnson is next week as well. United Health is next week. So we're really starting to get going here in Q1 earnings season.
It's like it never ends.
Yeah. Just when Q4 season is over, we get ready to go again. So looking at what to expect from earnings season as a whole, overall earnings growth is expected to be in double-digit territory for 11 of the 16 Zacks sectors, including the technology and finance sectors. So we obviously off to a hot start in terms of earnings growth with the finance reports we've seen this morning. Only two sectors are expected to show earnings declines in Q1, and that is autos and conglomerates. So investors in that space we'll certainly be hoping that the industry or the sector leaders can post some better than expected results. And then looking at the S&P as a whole, total Q1 earnings are expected to be up 13.4% from the year ago period on 6.9% higher revenues. Last quarter, we saw 15.2% earnings growth on 7.6% revenue growth. So any sort of trend of better than expected results could put us on a faster growth trajectory than we were at last quarter. And of course, we're going to be looking at the tax law changes as a key catalyst.
Definitely.
There. But it'll be very interesting because as the reports came in last season at the kind of mid to late January, we hardly had any hints of volatility, and then we had the early February sell-off, and then this sell-off that we saw over the past 2 weeks. Obviously, this week's rebound, but lots of volatility in the air. It seems like we have some political concerns, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, and then some interest rate uncertainty, some trade war.
I mean, there's always interest rate uncertainty.
Yeah, true. Some trade war uncertainty with China. We'll see how that plays out. So it seems like these results, there's a lot of pressure on these results to be good, but it's also possible that even with great results, investors are more concerned about something else. So we'll see what story kind of plays out over the next few weeks. That does it for us this week. As these reports start coming out, of course, we will have all the latest for you on every show. Feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com if you feel that we missed anything, or if you want us to cover a specific story as earnings season starts to get going here. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line. Actually, before I wrap it up, we're on Spotify now, I believe. So within either this episode or the next episode, we should be on Spotify. So if you're using multiple apps for your Friday Finish Line listening and you want to consolidate in your Spotify user, we will be up there soon. So check that out.